like somebody's in pain. But anyway, we're going to start this morning, and I'm going to talk about our church just a little bit and what a church should be. And we're glad Miss Kerr's with us today, and maybe she might got something for us or have a song on her heart, maybe here in a minute. But who wants to just stand up and just say, boy, the Lord did something for me this week and answered a prayer, or I just got lifted up or helped. And if God did something for you and you just want to stand up and say it right now, I know Sunday school ain't usually a time for testimonies and you're still wiping the sleep out of your eye. But come on now, my goodness, it's 10:15. If you got something, want to say, go ahead, Miss Sue. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? All right, Brother Roy, I'll get on this one now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a good report. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Right quick. Done something special for you at the camp meeting, and you just want to say it before the big crowd gets in here in a little bit. Amen. Anybody? Right quick. The Lord done something special for you. Go ahead, Brother Ray. Amen. Amen. It sure has. Somebody else, right quick. Right quick. The Lord done something special for you and you want to just say it. Anybody. Amen. All right. Sister Kerr, why don't you come right quick, if you would, and say what's on your heart and give us a song while we're waiting on everybody else to get in. And I believe the Lord will bless us. Thank God for Miss Kerr. What a friend. She's been to our church. And to me, my family, my girls, and I'm glad that she got to come. The Lord worked it out that she could come back and be with us for this morning service. Amen. And you pray for her as she comes and just gives us whatever God has put on her heart this morning. She can give you a word of testimony, sing, preach, whatever the Lord gives you. Amen. Amen. You want to hold a mic? Amen. Get it, Brother Roy.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'll just hold it. I don't deserve to stand there. Brother Danny said, does anybody have a testimony? Did God do anything for you? I wouldn't know where to start.
Go ahead. Amen.
I guess of all the camp meetings I've been in, this one's done more for me because I had a greater need, probably.
That's right.
And I really wouldn't know where to begin. But God did something for me.
Amen.
And I thank Him. I was able to praise Him last night.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Woo! I can't explain where I've been and where God brought me to last night.
Amen.
But He came.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I was able to trust through some of this. But last night, there was a difference. It's one thing to trust and you're still kind of numb and not feeling something else when He moves in and you can feel again.
Yeah, man.
It's funny how we do it, compartmentalize. We plan for success, try to pass the pain right by. But it just doesn't work that way. God has a different plan. He works in ways we'd never see beyond the scope of man. When the journey takes a detour, unexpectedly, and I try to accept and understand what it all means. When I'm pressed, show the world what I really believe. I will trust you, Lord. When my heart begins to faint because I see my life so frayed, and my soul cries out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, with my life. I may not understand it and even question why. What good could ever come from this has even crossed my mind. But God's teaching me to trust Him more. As He works His will in me, I rest securely in His will and surrender. Sure is sweet. When my journey took a detour unexpectedly, and I tried to understand and accept what it all means, when I was pressed to show the world what I really believed, I just trust you, Lord. When my heart began to faint because I saw my life so frayed, and my soul cried out, oh Lord, how long can I keep this at bay? In the fiercest part of battle, when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. Amen. I will trust you, Lord, with my life.
That's what a lot of young people don't understand. They don't understand that. See, you can plan out all this stuff, and you can plan out how things are going to go in your life, and you think, boy, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, but then you don't plan on what's around the corner. I've been sort of counseling with a couple having marriage trouble lately, and this lady told me the other day, she said, I'm going to leave my husband. She said, I'm going to leave him. Done made up my mind. And I said, that's a mistake. She said, but do you think it's right for me to stay here when I don't even love him? And I said, well, work on it. Pray. God, you know, any two people right with God can live with each other. If you're both right with God, it may not be heaven on earth, but any two people right with God can live with each other. Ain't that right? And a man told me the other day. A man told me, this week, that I don't love my wife. He said, I just don't love her. And I said, well, the Bible commands you to love her. It's a commandment. You have to. And God wouldn't tell you to do something that you can't do. They got it all confused. They don't feel that lust, and they think, I don't love them no more. And this girl was going to leave her husband, and I said, no, try to make it work. She said, well, all my life, I've married him when I was young, and I was only 16 or whatever, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I've just lived with my kids all these years, and you mean to tell me you think it's right for me to stay with him? I said, I know it's right for you to stay with him. I know it is. God don't make no mistakes. And she said, well, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to divorce him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get somebody else, and I'm going to do this. And I said, yeah, you got it all planned out, but what you don't see is around the curve, the bridge is out. You don't see on the curve, there's a flat tire there. You don't plan. God can throw a cog in that plan. And the best thing for you to do is go by what the Bible says and do right. And it may not be easy, it may not be what you want, but it'll all work out better down the road somewhere. The devil will show you a little short term. The devil will show you a little short term, easy way out, sort of a path, you know. Well, I can do this and I can do that and everything will work out. And here's what the devil does. The devil shows you all good parts at first, and then there's hell to pay after that. Now, with the Lord, it's the other way around. It's hard at first, then it's good after that. with the devil, you want to do it real bad, and after you do it, you wish you hadn't have. With the Lord, you don't want to do it. Go ahead and do it. Then later, you're glad you did. It's just completely opposite. And that's not what I'm really going to teach on this morning, but when she's talking about that, the unexpected things come in your life. Buddy, that is the truth. Unexpected things. Unexpected problems. Unexpected burdens. Turn that camera thing off. You're going to be fooling with them wires so it won't be making rackets up here. Or just unplug a camera part or VCR or something. You never know what's around the curve. You know, David had a plan. And old David had this plan, but it didn't work out. That might be me, Brother Roy. Just turn this way. And David had this plan. His plan didn't work out. Old Haman had a plan, and his plan didn't work out. All the way through the Bible, people have these big elaborate plans, but if God ain't in it, it ain't going to fly, brother. And so this morning, let's take our Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2 just a minute. I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture, and then we'll say some more things here, and we'll get out of the way and have our preaching service here in just a little bit. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Boy, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Amen. Now tonight, camp meeting continuing on at 6 o'clock. The Shepherd Choir is going to be here. Brother Timmy Hargrave and Brother Tommy Lewis. And boy, we're going to have a good time tonight. So come pray. Alright, look at Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 41. And look what this early church did here when they had this great revival. Bible, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, there's two or three things here I want us to notice about our church. And here's what I think, what I want our church to be. I want our church to be a church that loves and has a love for the Bible. If there's one thing I would like this church to be known for, it would be that we love the Bible. Boy, them people that go to that church love the Bible. I've heard people say, church, none of them can't wear makeup. Or the people that go to that church, none of them, you know, you can't listen to rock music. Or the people that go to that church, you can't do that. And churches become known for certain things that they, you know, believe in, do and stuff like that. But wouldn't it be nice if we had a testimony in this community, in this town, that people that go here to church love the Bible? Buddy, you can't beat that for a testimony. Them people love the Word of God, and they know the Bible. They love it, and they know it. I tell you, it's a great compliment to you when somebody calls you at night and says, where is this Scripture? Where is that Scripture? I knew you'd know it. Does that ever happen to you? That's a blessing. And especially you ladies that work in these factories and have a job. If the other ladies are coming to you and they're saying, where does the Bible say this? Where does the Bible? Well, I knew you went over that shining light and you'd know. That's a real compliment. It's a real compliment. And it's little things like that that hold people. And that's something you can't fake. Well, you know, there's churches all over this town this morning where there are people dressed so nice and they sing in the choir, the ensemble or something. And these ladies, they all stand perfect like this. You know, they don't have kids on the front row picking nose like we do in our choir. Or they don't, you know, they're all standing up here just perfect. And they sing so beautiful. And that's good. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. We could use a little help in the singing department. But you know what?
don't know who in the world they're. Listen to that. They're having a service back there. Let's just all go back there. Sounds better in there than it does in here. But anyway, you know what? That's good, but most of those ladies, when they work at the bank tomorrow, or they work at the factory tomorrow, there's no difference in them and everybody else. And that's what grows a church, is when the people out in the community know there's something different about you. Now, I'm not talking about being a judgmental, righteous, smart aleck. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going to work and pointing your finger at everybody and saying, you know, like we're better than you are. Not that at all. Not that at all. God hates that as bad as He does the other stuff. But I'm talking about just a consistent life as I believe the Bible. And if you want to know something about the Bible, I'll show it to you. And I want to be able to teach the Bible here in our church, and especially on Wednesday night. And it's what we do on Wednesday night. That's why Wednesday night's important, is we teach the Bible so that you'll know it. So when somebody comes up to you and says, where does the Bible say anything about capital punishment? You'd be able to show them. Now, what if I ask you that question? Where does the Bible say anything about capital punishment? Don't raise your hand, but how many people in here could just say, well, I can show you. It's right. Okay, let me ask you this. Where in the Bible does it say John 3:16? Where in the Bible, now if somebody says, where in the Bible does it say God loved me? You could show them John 3:16. Most of you could. Now, capital punishment. Where in the Bible does it say anything about homosexuality? Well, there's plenty of places. Romans chapter 1 would be your best one. Genesis 9 on that capital punishment, where God said, man shed man's blood, by his, my man shall his blood be shed. Just think of anything. What about exercise, bodily exercise? Somebody says, well, I'm going to buy me some exercise equipment. Well, do you know the Bible says it? Can you tell them what the Bible says? Bodily exercise profiteth little, you know. Stuff. What about alcohol? What in does the Bible say about alcohol? Did you know that 99% of the people who drink alcohol don't know where the verses are in the Bible about alcohol? And they all say, well, the Bible talks about drinking wine. I bet you that most 90% of them can't show you what it says or what it's talking about when it says that. They don't know. They don't know. Put them on the spot and say, show me in the Bible. Could you show them where it says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thy is not wise. Now that verse means if you drink, you're not smart. That's what it means. If you're deceived thereby, you are not wise. Somebody bought me a gift certificate to the Olive Garden. And you know me, I wouldn't give you a dime for the Olive Garden. Because you're paying big bucks for a bunch of noodles. And they sprinkle a little chicken in there. See, I know you, the reason you're shaking your head no is because you're young and dumb. In a few years, you'll get my point. I'm not going to sit outside somewhere 45 minutes and wait on a cell phone, something to buzz in my, tell me when it's time to go in and eat. Brother, I go to a convenience store before I do that. But anyway, you can go there if you want to. I don't care. But anyway, so I went, and I was myself. I think it was near Christmas time, and I went and sat down. And this guy, I don't always do this, but I sit down, and the waiter came up and said, would you like to taste our wine? And I said, do I look dumb? I was just messing with him. He said, no. I said, the Bible says you drink wine, you're dumb. He said, oh, does it? And I said, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He said, okay, I won't bring you none then. I was really a smart aleck by saying that. I loved it. It felt good. I guarantee you he thought about it. Guarantee you I'd give that boy something to think about. Smart people don't drink. That's right. Ain't that right? Smart people don't drink. That'd be a good bumper sticker. Smart people don't drink. Amen. We ought to know what the Bible says. We ought to know what the Bible says. If you don't know what it says, how in the world are we going to live by it? If we don't even know it's in the Bible. You know what a lot of people say? A lot of people say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I heard so-and-so, and I just believe. You say, really? Why do you believe that? Well, my preacher said it. You know, you need to know where it's at in the Bible. You need to know where the Bible says what you believe. Could you show anybody anywhere one verse of scripture about the rapture? Anybody? Could you show? Well, it'd be what? Somebody tell me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We shall be called up. You say, well, Brother Danny, you're a preacher and you're supposed to know the Bible. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says only preachers are supposed to know the Bible. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And if there's one thing I hope this camp meeting has done, I hope it's pushed us back toward getting in our Bible more and more and more. Man, some of those morning services, them preachers brought out some good stuff. Every one of them had a good thought. I don't believe I've ever been to a camp meeting where there wasn't at least one complete dud. And we didn't have a dud. Every preacher that got up here had something good, and they said is in a good spirit and everything. Usually you got some guy that gets full of himself, you know, and tries to, you know, do something crazy. But every one of our preachers had something good to say, and I don't even know how many preached, 15 probably. But it was good. And I'm telling you, last night, you missed last night, buddy. It was just out of this world, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. And the video won't show it, and the DVD won't show it. At all these angles that we had, if you missed last night. But we need to have a love for the Bible, folks. Just love the Bible. Let me tell you something else I want our church to be known for. Not only should we love the Bible, but we ought to have a love for prayer, prayer meeting. Now, praying is the second hardest thing that you want to do in your Christian life. Guess what the first one is? Fasting. Fasting's harder than anything. If you don't believe it, try it. Fasting's the hardest thing I ever try to do. Fasting's harder than digging a ditch. Fasting's harder than loading rocks on a pickup truck. Fasting's harder than picking up cross ties and cutting them with a chainsaw. Fasting is the hardest thing I ever do. And praying's the second hardest thing. Boy, when I get down to pray, me and Blake back there, and old Shouting Howard. Shouting Howard was going to leave yesterday morning, and I said, man, I don't want you to leave. You stay here and be with us tonight. And I said, what about you, sister? And she's just so sweet. She said, thank you. Whatever he says, whatever Howard wants to do. And I thought, man, what a blessing. I'll tell you something about that sister. I don't know how many preachers' wives we got in here this morning, but you wouldn't believe what a blessing she was. I don't know if y'all noticed Miss Estep. Very quiet, very meek, neat, clean. I mean, just what a blessing she was. And yesterday she came up to me out there at the tent, and we was talking, and that's Shouting Howard's wife. And behind every good man there's what? Good woman. Ain't that right? Yes, yes. Amen. You say, where's a good woman behind you, Brother Danny? She's sitting up there in her house in Hoppy Tom Holler. My mama. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. I guarantee it. And anyway, old Shout Howard, his wife came up to me out there, and most preachers' wives will say, boy, I enjoyed it so much. And you know, what a blessing this has been. Or she said, they'd say, thank you, the food was nice. The motel was, not one person told me the motel was nice this week. And I don't blame them because it wasn't. But anyway, she came up to me, and you know what she said? She shook my hand. She said, Brother Danny, thank you so much for letting Howard preach. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing? I have never had a preacher's wife tell me that. Of all the years I've been pastoring, I don't believe I've ever had a preacher's wife. Maybe they have and I forgot it. But she's the first one that ever said, she said, thank you for letting Howard preach. Like that just made his day. And so I talked them into going with me. I said, won't y'all go home with me? I said, we got empty bedroom, couches empty. And y'all come on the house. And she loved them apple pies. So Miss Dot made some apple pies. I guess as you made them, wasn't it, Miss Dot? And they saved them for me out there. And they wasn't on the counter. They was under the counter stuff, you know. And she said, where'd you get them pies? I love them. I said, well, a lady in our church makes them. So I took one of them pies that Miss Dot made me and put it in the microwave and heated it up and took it in the living room and handed it to her. She said, oh, I need this. And boy, I gave her a fork, man, she just started eating it. That's why women always say, I don't need to be eating this. I'm gaining too much weight. But she loved that thing. That's what they all say. They all say, I don't need this. But anyway, she was eating that. And you know what? So yesterday evening, I said, y'all stay with me. It'll time to go to church. So every evening this week, I've been going up in the woods to pray before church in my little prayer place up there. And Bob and was out in the yard talking to shouting Howard, and hallelujah, Howard. And I said, won't y'all go up in the woods with me to pray? And he says, amen, praise God, let's go. You know, I like it. He does like it. I like it when he starts doing that. So, boy, I tell you, I'm going to take him up here, but the Lord will bless me. So we went up in the woods, and, boy, we got down to pray, and we had a good prayer meeting. You know, praying usually is hard work. But once you get up there, and I know what Sister Kerr was trying to say, it's like you've been down, 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 and finally the Lord lifts you up and lifts you out. And, boy, when you get up there, then it's fun to pray. You enjoy praying. But it's hard getting up there. And sometimes it takes a long time and a lot of wading through. Like one of them preachers tonight was talking about wading through that mud. I forget which one it was. Brother Randy Steele, I believe. Talking about wading through mud. That's the way it feels sometimes. You just, your feet. You ever tried to walk in mud about that deep? Ugh. And you go like that, you know, and go like that. And like that. And it's hard to do. Well, that's what. But when you finally get up there, and you get loose. We got up in the woods yesterday evening, and boy, it was good. And we prayed, and we prayed, and Brother Howard hugged me. I mean, he squeezed me with all his might. I said, amen, brother. And we come back last night. I'd like for people in our community to look at the people who go to this church and say, you know what? If I need somebody to pray with me, I know I can call that person. Wouldn't it be a testimony? Wouldn't it be a great testimony if all you ladies that work in the factories or over here at the bank, down here at Ingles at the grocery store, if all the women said, somebody comes in and say, boy, so-and-so's got cancer. Boy, so-and-so's got, well, that woman there, talk to her. She can pray. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? That's a great testimony. That's what being a Christian's all about, people. It's not just, boy, I sing specials at my church. And I know some people, they think they're a great Christian because they got a good voice and they stand up and sing in church. I don't make you no great Christian. The people out in the world's got great voices. Matter of fact, got better ones than we do. Really. They got talent. That don't make you a Christian. I know people that think, well, I knew a guy who had all these Sunday school pens. You know, in the Southern Baptist, they give you these Sunday school pens. And he had them down through here where he hadn't missed Sunday school in 100 years. That's good. That's good. But that ain't what defines you as a Christian. When people at work say, I'll tell you one thing, my wife left me, or my husband left me, I can go over here and talk to so-and-so. And they can pray. That's what lets you know. People let you know you're a Christian. I have people call me on a regular basis, really, honestly, from all over the country. And they'll say, Brother Danny, I'm having marriage problems. Can you help me? I say, yep, what's going on? And they'll tell me, that this, that, and I'll say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible said that, the Bible said this. And I'll say, well, how do you make it through a divorce? How do you make it through this? How do you make it through that? Listen, we ought to be known as a bunch of people to say, when somebody's going through problems, say, well, okay, they've been through it, so I know they can help me. They can pray, so they can pray for me. They believe the Bible, so they'll show me in the Bible where it's at. So we ought to be known. We ought to be known as a group of people who know the Bible. And we ought to be known as a group of people that know how to pray. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about walking in. Listen, people do damage to the cause of Christ when they're in these factories walking around like, bless God, I'm better than everybody else here. They're one of these snooty, kind of self-righteous, sort of like somebody like that. Nobody likes a pharisaical, smart aleck that thinks they're better than everybody else. But I tell you what, if they see you're genuine and they know you love them and they know that you think you're no better than anybody else and you live and act like you're no better than they are, but you just got Jesus, then that's going to attract people. It really is. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We make people thirsty for God. That's one reason why I have people like we have in here for our camp meeting. Them kind of people make you thirsty, don't they? Oh, Howard, buddy, he makes you thirsty. He is a salt shaker, brother. I'm telling you what, brother. He scatters it all over the church. And every time I've seen him, he's just like that. What a blessing somebody like that is. You know, I bet you this. 10 people sitting in here last night saying, man, oh man, would I love to feel like he acts like he feels. And that old boy's way up in his 70s, had a heart attack and everything. I mean, I thought he's going to fall over there two or three times. But Lord keeps him going. So we ought to be known as a people. Listen to me. We ought to be known as a people that love the Bible. We ought to be known as a people that love how to know how to pray. And there's one more thing right quick before we break. We ought to be known as a people who love each other. You know what? Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. Not because of how you dress. A suit don't make me no right with God. It don't. I mean, I think a people ought to dress very best. I think it's wrong to come dress wicked to the house of God, or wicked anywhere for that matter. I think it's wrong to come shabby, or, you know, I think some young people want to wear just as worldly as they can just to seem rebellious at church. I think that's wrong. But I'm telling you, your clothes don't make you right with God. But them Pharisees, they had robes down to the floor. Oh, Lord, if you seen them, you'd think, oh my goodness. They make broad the phylacteries of their garments, you know, and love to be placed. And they was absolutely full of the devil. Some of the meanest people you'll ever meet in your life are religious people that look good on the outside. I mean, they're full of the devil. I'm not talking about that. We ought to have a love for each other. You know what? We ought to be known it. Them at that church helps each other. Them people at that church, when one of them's down, a bunch of them will... I know, I heard of a case not long ago where this elderly woman lived by herself and she burned wood and she's about to freeze to death. This not this year, but a few winters ago. And she finally, she said, well, I don't want to bring my son. He cuts wood all the time, but I don't want to bother him. Finally, somebody said, you better call somebody. You're going to freeze to death. And she called and said, honey, I hate to bother you, but your mama needs some wood. And he finally broke down and cut his mama a load of wood and took it and charged her for it. Made her pay him. Oh, boy. That's his mama, brother. A widow up there in that house. Can you imagine that? Come on. Buddy, I'll tell you what, that feller's got his day, I'm telling you. You don't do your mama like that. You don't do your mama like that. We ought to be known. And listen, we're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be known that we'll help each other. Now, you know what makes people, in churches not want to help each other? Because you always got some scoundrel taking advantage of it. We used to have this guy come in church and he'd go around begging money off everybody. Between Sunday school and preaching, he'd go around and say, listen, I ain't got no grocery money. Come and you give me $5. Just walking up to people. And I finally had to say something about it. I mean, it was getting embarrassing. He'd walk up to visitors saying, give me some money. And he was carrying home $50, $60 every service. He's making enough to live off of, just bumming off people at church. And you always got some crook like that.
Yeah.
And that ain't right. And that makes people say, oh, I ain't helping nobody. I ain't giving nobody no money. That's the wrong attitude to have. There are people that really have needs. There are people that do get down and out. There are people that get up against it. There are people who try hard and get laid off and really want to work. And we ought to help each other. Amen? We ought to have a love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I'd love for our church to be known as a people that love the Bible, as a people that know how to pray, and people that love each other. That's the best testimony you can possibly have. I know churches that are known for great Christmas plays. I know churches that are known for beautiful auditoriums. They call them sanctuaries. This ain't a sanctuary. This is an auditorium where we just meet. I know people, churches that are known for, you know, whatever, great singing. And none of that's wrong. Although it's good. But wouldn't it be good if we is known for just loving each other, loving the Lord, and loving His Word? Yeah. Amen. All right. We're going to take a little break now. Pray for the preaching service. Got a big crowd coming in. And take a little time to fellowship and get you a drink water, use the restroom, make our visitors welcome. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We pray now, Lord, that you'd help our church, help every one of us to love your word, to love the secret place of prayer, and to love each other.
God, do it. We're not capable of doing this in ourselves. We pray that you'd put it in our hearts. Bless the preaching service this morning, Lord. Help us, oh God, we pray. Bless the singing, the fellowship. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.